Praise the Lord. What a beautiful night it is under the felt presence of the Lord in his house. Tonight, the message, walk in the light. We're going to read 1 John chapter 1, 5 to 7. Walk in the light. This is the message which we have heard from him and declare to you that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. Is it possible for us to say we're in fellowship with God? I'm good with God. I'm in fellowship with God. And yet we're walking in darkness? The Apostle John says it is. And he said if we're in that state, we actually lie and do not practice the truth. We have to guard our own hearts. We can allow things to come into our mind and settle us and comfort us, but the scripture has to judge us, doesn't it? The word of God has to judge our lives and keep us in the light and in the way of the Lord. So John says, if we say that we fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses. That is continually, present tense in the Greek, continually and regularly cleanses us from sin. I want to spend a couple minutes on this passage. Again, verse 7, but if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin. Note the order. If I was writing this verse from my human perspective, I wouldn't put that order. I would put, but if we walk in the light as he is in the light, the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin, and we have fellowship with one another. But that's not the order that John put it, because it's not God's order. If we walk in the light, we will be found in the fellowship of the house of God and the people of God. And if we're there, the blood of Jesus Christ will work in the house of God to cleanse us from all sin. There are three inseparables here. The light, the fellowship, and the cleansing. There is an immediate consequence in this verse, and there is an ultimate consequence. The immediate consequence is, if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, the immediate consequence is we have fellowship with one another. We're drawn to the people of God. We want to be in the house of God. We want to be part of the fellowship of the saints. And the ultimate consequence is the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses us from all sin. What an order. Think about it. When you read this passage from time to time, note the order once again. It's light, fellowship, and cleansing by the blood of Christ. There are Christians today that want cleansing, but they don't want fellowship. Little or no church attendance. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship, and the blood of Christ, God's Son, cleanses us from all sin. One of the chief signs that we are walking in the light, this isn't my word, this is the word. One of the chief signs that we are walking in the light is that we desire to be in the fellowship of the saints and part of the house of God and an active member of that house of God. And if we do not fellowship, we are in darkness. No matter how fondly we think of ourselves, if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses us from all sin. I love to be in the house of God. I love to be with the people of God. I love to be worshiping and praying and fellowshipping and talking and blessing with the people of the Lord. If we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship, and the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses us from all sin. We need the church. We need the mix of brothers and sisters. We need the manifold wisdom of God. We need the many-colored grace of God and gifting of God and ministry of God that each one of us put in as we gather. And the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us, and we are renewed and strengthened. Hebrews chapter 10, 19 to 25. Therefore, brethren, having boldness to enter the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way which he consecrated for us through the veil that is his flesh, and having a high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart, in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works. Let's give attention to one another in order to stir up love and good works. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day of Christ coming, appearing. You say, well, I've heard messages like this before, Pastor. Yeah, and a similar one this morning. If I forget Jerusalem, the house of God, let my right hand forget its skill. And let my tongue cleave to the roof of my mouth. If I prefer not Jerusalem, the house of God, the presence of God, above my chief joy, whatever I delight in this world and have pleasure in and enjoyment in God, there's nothing like the house and the presence of God. Can you see the battle? I know you can see the battle. Can you see the warfare? I know you can see the warfare and the attack of the enemy across the land and across the world today. If any man has ears to hear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying to the churches. What is the Spirit saying? The church of the Spirit is saying, I need strong and powerful local churches where people are built together in structure and order so they can walk in power and purpose and accomplish something in the earth. Let us draw near. Seeing that we have a high priest over the house of God. While we're the house of God, this building is the place where we, the house of God, assemble. We have a high priest over this spiritual family. Let us draw near to our high priest, and let us draw near to the house of God, that we may walk in the ways of the Lord and be strengthened and be built up and be cleansed and walk in righteousness and holiness. We know that the desire of the enemy, the plotting of the enemy, the ploy of the enemy is to have the believer withdraw from the church or attend sporadically. If the enemy of our soul can get the sheep isolated from the flock, he has an easy time. And the Bible says, let us draw near. Let us draw near. Let's find our place in the presence of God. There's protection in the house of God. There's life. There's care. There's counsel. There's security. There's the support of the Spirit and of the people of God. 1 Peter 4, verses 7 to 8. But the end of all things is at hand. Therefore, be serious and watchful in your prayers. And above all things, have fervent love, agape, that divine love of God. Have fervent agape for one another. For love will cover a multitude of sins. Have fervent love for one another. because love will cover a multitude of sins. Sins need to be covered. Now, the Apostle Peter says, in the gathering of the saints, as we have love for one another, as we gather together and have fervent love for one another, there's something that takes place. There is a love that covers a multitude of sins and stresses and struggles and trials and temptations and afflictions. He said, we need to have this fervent agape for one another, this fervent love. He says, love will cover a multitude of sins. He didn't say love will cover up a multitude of sins. There are some Christian groups, some Christian circles, where love is not really dealt with in a biblical way. It's kind of swept under the rug. It's brushed off. Oh, you were just having a bad day. Oh, you just had a little failure. Don't worry about it. But how is sin covered up? How does God cover sin? God covers sin, puts it out of view, never to be seen again, by acknowledging that sin, by confessing that sin, by repenting of that sin, and then God says, now my blood will go to work and cleanse that, and you will stand in true biblical forgiveness as if you'd never committed that sin. And that's how God deals with us, isn't it? When we sin against the Lord, our conscience is pricked. We feel it. We don't say, oh, it's no big deal. It's just another thing in my day. No, there's a conviction. Lord, I misspoke. I did not speak right. My spirit wasn't right. Lord, forgive me. Or I acted this way or that way. Lord, forgive me. Cleanse me by your blood. I acknowledge it as sin. I put it away right now. I turn from it. We have, let's say there's violation in the body of Christ, brothers and sisters. We just don't, you know, sweep it under the rug, forget about it. No, your conscience says, I need to go to that brother or sister and make it right. And so you humble yourself and you say to your brother or sister, listen, what I did was wrong. Please forgive me. And they say, I forgive you. We're brothers and sisters in Christ. The blood of Jesus Christ comes and cleanses that sin. And it's covered, never to be seen again. How do you deal with your children when you're raising them? Child violates, disobeys. You don't just kind of yell at them, get to your room and forget about it. No, you know this is a violation, and you don't have to nip this in the bud so they learn how to walk in godly forgiveness and righteousness and holiness. And so you go to that child and say, child, you need to confess this sin. What you did was wrong. You need to ask forgiveness and say sorry. And my, you can wait for the sorry sometime, can't you? Even in a child, it shows you how deep that fallenness is in the nature. And so you say to that child, child, you need to ask forgiveness. Finally, the child says, mommy, daddy, forgive me. I'm sorry. And they have tears. And you say, okay, let's pray right now. Thank you, Jesus. Jesus, because of this confession of sin, your blood is here now to wash this child and to wash this wrongdoing and this failure and this violation. And we thank you, Jesus, that this is gone forever, covered by your blood, hidden from you, never to be seen again. And you rise up with that child, you give that child a hug and say, everything's clear, you're forgiven, let's go on. How does God deal with sin? That's how he deals with it. Now, how does God deal with sin in the body of Christ? The Bible says love covers a multitude of sins. Have fervent love for one another because love covers a multitude of sins. What happens is that when we are in the church fellowship and we are together in the house of God, the Holy Spirit goes to work showing us areas of violation, sinfulness, compromise, drift, some danger signals that he puts into our heart. under the preaching and teaching of the Word, under the atmosphere of the preaching of the Word of God each week and the teaching of the Word of God. What happens? Sin is exposed. Things are brought to the surface. And then there's counsel, there's care, there's prayer at the altar. We pray for one another, we help one another, and that is how love is working to cleanse us from all sin, regularly, continually, in the body of Christ. Hallelujah. That's the way of the Lord. I thank God for every cleansing I have received from childhood until now in the church fellowship, as I've been among the people of God, and I've been corrected, and the words come over the pulpit, and Holy Spirit says, that's for you. You need to adjust. You need to correct. And the counsel and the knowledge of the Lord is there. We pray for one another. We bless one another. Love covers a multitude of sins. Have fervent love. Let the love of God work to pray with one another, to confess to one another struggles and trials, and be healed and be ministered to. At the altars week by week, people that have struggle and trial and temptation and difficulty, they come and the ministry team comes and people come and pray for them. And what is happening is that the agape of God in us, that fervent love, is beginning to cover sins, and we pray with people and they confess their sin and they're healed, and the blood of Christ cleanses from all sin. I see it on Tuesday nights. It's so beautiful in our prayer service all over this auditorium. People praying with other people, encouraging them, blessing them, loving them. Love is covering a multitude of omissions and struggles and strains and trials. Proverbs 28:13, he who covers his sins will not prosper. That is, covers up. In fact, one translation says that. He who covers up his sin will not prosper. He that conceals his sin will not prosper, but whoever confesses and forsakes them will have the mercy of the Lord, and the blood of Christ will cleanse. James 5:16, confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. Confess your trespasses to one another, your struggles, the warfare, the tension, maybe some family difficulty, whatever it is that we're going through. Brother, sister, pray for me. Pray for me. I need healing in my body. I remember many years ago when I was facing that terminal disease in my body, wow, almost 21 years ago now, I asked people to pray for me. Brother, sister, will you pray for me? Sunday after Sunday, I'd ask different people, please pray for me. Lay your hands on me and pray for me. Confess your sins one to another, the Bible says, that you may be healed. Your struggles, your trials, your difficulty, the tensions, maybe the attitudes that are working, spirit of warfare that's come upon you, a heaviness, an oppression of some sort. Don't walk away. Say, people of God, pray for me. Confess and pray that you may be healed. There's healing. If you walk in the light, you'll be found in the fellowship of the saints. And the blood of Jesus Christ will cleanse you from all sins. Colossians 3:15-16, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also you were called in one body. And be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another. Admonish, to put in mind, to put into remembrance, to put into your mind, to call you back to truth. Teaching and admonishing one another. How? In psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. That's the worship service of the house of God. There we are, ministering to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. You know, while we're ministering unto the Lord, we're ministering unto his people at the same time. There's ministry that's going out. There's an atmosphere that's being set. amazing how the cleansing of God comes into the house of the Lord in a worship service. And God renews and refines and purifies. Heaviness breaks, oppression breaks, depression breaks, chains break. Struggles and trial and things that were burdening you all of a sudden are lifted. Why? Because the blood of Jesus Christ is working throughout the body of Christ as we gather. Things advertent and inadvertent. Things in attitude. Maybe a resentment. Maybe a waywardness. Maybe a foolishness that is trying to get hold of a life or a young person. Come into the house of God, and the people of the Lord are filled with zeal, and they're worshiping, and they're singing, and they're praising, and the Holy Spirit is working in the hearts of every person. And in that fellowship, in that singing, as we dance in the river, as we sing and shout and praise the Lord, there is a cleansing that is going on in the body of Christ by the Holy Spirit. If we walk in the light, we will be found in the fellowship of the saints, and we will find that the blood of Jesus Christ will continually cleanse us from all sin and lead us on our way home. Ephesians 5:18-19. And do not be drunk with wine, in which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. The worship service, again, of the house of God, speaking to one another, psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, the atmosphere of praise that rises and flows in the house of God. And my, you can walk out of a church service feeling so cleansed, so holy, so purified, so lifted. Sometimes you feel like, I feel like I'm walking on air tonight. Because you've walked in the supernatural presence and power of God. That is one of the great promises and benefits of the true worship service of the house of the Lord. Well, 1 John 1:8-9. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. Come on, all of us are dealing with struggle and trial, attitudes, warfare, different things that come across our life week by week. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. 1 John 5:8-9. We read 1 John 5-7 at the beginning. If we walk in the light, we have fellowship, and the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. So we stand in the house of the Lord. Lord, forgive my sins. Forgive my debts as I forgive my debtors. Forgive my sins. There's a constant cry in a true Christian. Lord, keep the sinfulness off my life. Attitudes and spirit and reluctances and aggravations and annoyances. Lord, keep me pure. See, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. We need the constant working of the Holy Spirit, the Word of God, the fellowship of the brothers and sisters, and the cleansing of the blood of Christ. Let's have the worship team come. Psalm 122, close out with this. 1-8. Why don't we stand together as we read this? So beautiful. I was glad when they said to me, "Let us go into the house of the Lord." Our feet have been standing within your gates, O Jerusalem. New Testament application, the church, place of the gathering of the people. Jerusalem is built. The church is built as a city that is compact together, where the tribes go up, the tribes of the Lord, to the testimony of Israel. The testimony of Israel is the Word of God. They go up to the Word of God, to the preaching and the teaching of the Lord, to give thanks to the name of the Lord, the prayer and the worship, For thrones are set there for judgment, the thrones of the house of David, the rulings, the judgments, the statutes, the counsels of the Lord come forth in his house, and they guide us and teach us how to walk, how to carry ourselves, and how to live. Bible says, pray for the peace of Jerusalem. May they prosper who love you. Well, you know, it's good to pray for Jerusalem over there in the Middle East. This is an Old Testament context, but it's good to pray for Jerusalem. We should be praying for the Jewish people all over the earth. What? That they find Christ, that their hearts are open to Jesus, the Messiah. Paul said, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. And our prayer for the nation of Israel, because they brought forth the Christ through that nation, they brought forth the Savior of the world. Our prayer to this day is that God would bless them and they'd get saved and they'd turn to Jesus Christ. And I looked it up the other day, and we were looking with my family. We were thinking, how many Jewish people are there in the world who would call themselves Jewish? And the number came up, and we looked, and how many would consider themselves Messianic Jews? And we found out that 10% of the Jewish nation, of the people of Israel, are following Jesus Christ as Savior. 10% is a pretty good number when you consider the rates among our Gentile lands today. God is working. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Pray for the Jewish people. But, you know, pray for the Gentile lands just the same. Because God is the Savior of the whole world. He wants every land. He wants every ethnic group. He wants every nation to come under the knowledge of Jesus Christ. But here, pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Pray for the peace of the people of God, of the church today. May they prosper who love you. Peace be within your walls. Prosperity within your palaces. For the sake of my brethren and companions, I will now say, peace be within you. Hallelujah. Because of the house of God, I will seek your good. Because of the house of God, I will seek your good. Well, let's close out in prayer. Father God, we look to you tonight, Lord. Your word is so clear. Pierces asunder to the dividing of soul and spirit. Joints and marrow, it goes right down to heal our bodies. Discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. Lord, your order is perfect. Light and fellowship and cleansing. You've called the body of Christ together. You've called this church family together to walk with you, Lord, that there could be strength and protection and cleansing and purpose and vision. Salvation to the world. And so we thank you tonight, Lord, and we receive your word into our hearts in the name of our Lord and Savior. Amen. Praise the Lord.